Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders. We have hour number three. I don't know what's happening, but it's hour number three.
Three-time champs right here. Hour three. Three is the best number. It's my favorite number right there.
That's your favorite? Well, yeah. It's funny because the Thursday is Kyle's favorite day of the week. All right. So we have a favorite hour in the favorite day of the week. All right. I'm here for it. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia, here on this Thursday in Roseville, California. Here on The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We have some sort of concert going on here today, and D'Lo and Casey have to be part of this concert. And so they will be back in around 1 o'clock, hopefully. Now Kenny's in, just dropping by to hang out in the studio.
If we got
to
do an hour for you, you guys better call in, because we only got 3 hours of material here.
Yeah, yeah. Where are you at? We got 2 hours of material.
Yeah. You know what? Matter of fact, call the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320.
We're dying here. We're out of stuff to talk about. Yeah, so we aren't out of things to talk about. But hey, let's hit this conversation that, we just talked about it. McCaffrey's not a candidate for IR. But he's probably going to miss this week as well. I mean, that's kind of the murmur, is that there's a good chance.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah, that he may or may not play this weekend. It's a short week, even though he didn't play last week. It's a short week. We keep hearing that because they played on Monday and then again on Sunday. And I think it's interesting because the 49ers have been a team that, Brock Purdy, more specifically, has been a quarterback that if there's one knock on him, it's that the players around him are too good.
Yeah, Brock did all this, but look at all the guys around him. That's the most backwards-ass thing ever.
Isn't it the wildest thing? And I'm looking at it like, okay, look, if you have Brock Purdy as your quarterback, like, is there a way for him to ever win this conversation?
There is.
Is there a way for him to win this conversation?
There is, but it's got to kind of be ugly. Because, like, McCaffrey's probably going to have to, like, miss some games, and people are going to have to see, oh, Brock can actually run the offense without maybe Christian McCaffrey there or something like that, which I don't buy into, but I think that's the only way. Like, if the 49ers are missing some pieces on offense, some important ones, and they're still winning because, like, Brock Purdy's just playing like Brock Purdy always does, I think that's how you change it.
Okay, so what if I told you that you're going to go into a nationally televised game on Monday Night Football against what many consider one of the better teams in the AFC in week one?
You already just destroyed my point.
That your left tackle was going to sit out all of training camp and show up like a couple of days before and literally have to go in the locker room and get an IV during the game. Not only that, but your star wide receiver decided to skip all of preseason.
Said he's never felt like that on a football field before either.
The dude drops a touchdown. He drops a what would have been a easy first down. And on top of that, oh, by the way, your superstar running back who finished, what, third in MVP?
Sounds right around there.
Right around there.
Was offensive player of the year.
Yeah, that guy, he wasn't able to play, and you didn't really even know he wasn't going to be able to play sometime maybe on Friday and sometime maybe on Monday. But you go out there as a quarterback with all of these things happening around you, a rookie right guard, you know, a left tackle who hasn't been there forever, who literally just showed up
this week,
like 5 days ago, 6 days ago, and then all of these other pieces, and you go out there, and then what happens? Instead of you being the star, some random dude named Jordan Mason.
Who the hell is Jordan Mason?
Goes for 147, and it's like, well, you know, he had Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason went for 147, so.
Well, goes Jordan Mason, and then after that, it's like, oh, yeah, Brock played. No, goes to Kyle Shanahan.
Well, yeah, Shanahan did an amazing job of coaching this thing. Or is it, oh, man, Mason, he could be a stud. They may have found something. And meanwhile, a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer who had two or three MVPs, a Super Bowl win, looks every bit the age of 41, whatever Rodgers is. And your quarterback should have had a much better game, but some wide receivers dropped some balls. Is there ever going to be a moment where he really does have an opportunity to get his due?
I thought I had it with that theory as far as like McCaffrey's going to have to miss some games and all that, but you literally just shot it down in week one. It just literally didn't even happen. They were fine. He played well, and he still didn't get credit.
No interceptions, no fumbles, no big mistakes, nothing.
It has to, like, I don't know what it is with him, why he hasn't gotten his due yet. I'm not even saying you got to call him a top five quarterback, because I don't think he's that. But he's a top 10-ish type, where he's around there. But he doesn't get discussed that way, I think. And I don't know if it's because they hold Kyle Shanahan in such high regard, or if it's because all the weapons, because he was a seventh round pick. But he's done enough to get a little respect. I don't think he's gotten that respect yet.
Yeah. I mean, he's literally 4-2 in the playoffs in his career. And the one of those losses came because, like, early in the game, somebody snapped his elbow. Right? And so they lose that game. Well, the next came in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Like, you got the rookie year, whatever. So, oh, well, we got to see film on him. All right. He tore it up the next year.
Yeah. He tore it. Like, he had 4,300 yards and 31 touchdowns last year. He was absolutely. And he only played 16 games. If he would have played 17th game, he would have been either the NFL's passing leader or, like, right near the NFL's passing leader. Like, he finishes in the top six, I think, in NFL passing yards. So I'm kind of intrigued to see how the narrative shifts with him, or if it doesn't. If this is going to be sort of Brock Purdy's narrative for his career.
I wonder how much different it'd be if he could throw a football 70 yards down the field.
You know what, though, man? Has there ever been a quarterback where you just sat there and said, okay, why does he get no credit? I mean, they went to the NFC Championship game after he started, like, nine straight games. They went to the Super Bowl the next year, but you were still not seeing the groundswell.
Off the top of my head, like, I don't know who else gets that kind of excuse. I guess Tua, in a sense, does at times.
Tua, like, puts up the numbers, yeah. And statistically, I guess maybe the better example, the other example, is Goff.
Yeah. But even Goff still gets his respect now at this point.
But do you consider Goff a top 10 quarterback?
He's around there for me.
Okay.
But if we're talking, like, as far as the conversation around Brock Purdy and, like, throwing Jared Goff around there, I feel they give Jared Goff more his due than they would Purdy.
Maybe, but...
I mean, Jared Goff's been to a Super Bowl, so maybe he gets that respect. But I still don't think, like, they talk about how they talk about Goff, they talk about Purdy.
I don't know, man.
They talk about Goff like he's... maybe I'm not seeing something else then, but yeah, I feel like Goff still gets his credit.
Okay, so Goff is a three-time Pro Bowler. Goff also, last season, threw for 4,575 yards and 30 touchdowns. Like, he was incredible.
Yeah.
He was incredible. And you know what? He didn't make the Pro Bowl, despite the fact that I think he was second in yards to Dak. I think Dak has a couple
more. Did he turn that down?
Maybe we got
some Tyler Huntley's in the Pro Bowl and all that.
Yeah, but I think that's one of those things where he still would have got the nod. I don't know. We're also talking about a guy who, again, did win a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, no.
He lost.
Yeah, he lost one of the worst Super Bowls of all time.
It was
10-3 against the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why. But I think that Goff is one of those guys where no one considers Goff a top 10 quarterback. Probably don't consider him a top 14, 15 quarterback. Maybe top 15. But you don't instantly, like, when you're going through your fantasy football book, you're not like, you look at Goff's stats, you're like, nah, that's not happening again. Like, I'm not taking him as a starting number one quarterback. And if I walk into the season with him as my number one quarterback, I'm not feeling great about it.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he threw for a ridiculous amount of yards and a ridiculous amount of touchdowns. So I don't know that how we're ever going to get there with Purdy, but maybe there is, like, a window here where there are some other players that are like that. You know, like, again, Lamar Jackson, people disrespect Lamar Jackson, they think, but he's won two MVPs. Like, they're not really disrespecting him. They're just not putting him up.
I feel like they're just waiting for him to win in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, but that's
like him and Josh Allen are kind of the same.
Yeah.
Lamar and Josh Allen.
Yeah. I think that's true. But then we have other guys who, like, have never done anything who get all kinds of love and on the national stage. And you're sitting there like, okay, I'm not quite sure why it is. And can it be that he was the final pick in the seventh round of the NFL draft? Maybe. But
I think that definitely plays into it. But either way, you should be getting a little bit more respect.
No, I agree. So, a lot more on this. I think it's really interesting just the perception of players and how, some players you're just waiting for that one season where they break out. And then other players, you're like, oh, no, he's just not that good. And it doesn't matter how many stats they put up, how many wins they put up, how many playoff wins they put up. You're left with this weird, like, sort of feeling around the league about them.
Yeah.
And so I hope that Brock Purdy can break through that. And you know, Well, hopefully he can. All right, we're gonna step aside. This is part of hour number three here on the Insiders. It's a marathon. We're taking your calls. Call the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320. Give us something to talk about here because we got another 45 minutes before D'Lo and Casey take over. We're the Insiders. We'll see you in just a minute.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back in to the Insiders. It's a marathon day. We're taking phone calls. Call the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320. We're going to do this telethon style to get us through the last hour. Damian and Kenny are busy doing an event. They'll be back here before the 1 o'clock hour. But for right now, you've got James Hamm, you've got Jesse Tapia, you've got the Insiders brought to you by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320.
Call us and talk to us about your team, and we'll tell you whether they stink or they're good.
That's right. Jesse, we do have confirmation. The six pack is real.
Oh, it's legit?
The six pack is real.
That's right.
So we're not going to call it the Pac 12 anymore. We're not going to call it the Pac 6 because, let's just be honest, that doesn't sound very appropriate.
We're the six pack until some other teams get in here.
We're calling it the six pack. According to, I guess, an announcement from Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, and Fresno State, they are officially joining the artist formerly known as the Pac 12.
Pac-12 champions Fresno State doesn't have a bad ring to it.
Oh, you're a Fresno State guy?
I'm not, but I like the way they play ball and recruit and all that. I think they'll be good.
I like the Aztecs.
I was always an SJSU guy, San Jose State. It's always a school I wanted to go to, but
okay, and
now I'm a Sac State guy, I guess.
Are they the Aztecs too?
No, they're the Spartans.
Spartans, sorry. Close.
Yeah.
So, San Diego State, Aztecs, and then Colorado State. I like Boise State because now the six pack is going to have the blue field.
It's facts.
Yeah.
Shout out Boise State in that weird ass field.
I absolutely love it.
It's cool. Like Eastern Washington, I think, has a red one.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. I don't like.
You know what, though? Get them in. Let's go the seven pack.
No, because they're in Sac State's division. So keep them there and we'll get Sac out of there. Sac State.
Get Sac State in the Pac 12. Come on.
Pac 12 champions, Sac State?
That's right. And someone would say Stingers up. I don't say
what's crazier. Stingers what's up. Crazier? A's winning the World Series at Sutter Health Park, or the Sac State Hornets winning the Pac 12?
I would love to see the Sac State Hornets win the Pac 12. Or at that point, if they can get Eastern Washington, we'll call it the 8 pack.
There it is right there.
So it'll be like your abs. Like you got a nice little 8 pack going. I think it's interesting that this is happening right now, that they're, you know, after the whole Pac-12 getting blown up last year and this being the first year, but like you can't have two teams in it.
Yeah, I just wonder what it means for that conference. Like, is it something where it's like, because the Pac-12 was something before, and like now it's like, all right, we got all these teams in here. Like I said, just basically Mountain West 2.0.
I guess, but I believe,
and maybe there's some college football things that I'm missing as to why this is great for them and like Pac-12's back, but I think probably need someone to explain it to me a little bit more, I guess.
I think the Pac-12 as a brand is like 108 years old, or the Pac-10,
uh-huh.
You know, the conference itself.
So are we just trying to keep history at this point?
I guess so. Yeah, I'm not sure that I'm totally down with them re-expanding. I wish that they would have done the right thing in the beginning. And if you're going to go to another league, just bring everybody in.
Yeah.
Like whether it's two or three leagues, don't leave two teams behind. To me, that was just Bush League. And these poor guys are just sitting there like, what are we supposed to? Yeah. Like who are we supposed to play? How are we supposed to schedule this? I don't know. As a UC Davis guy, I hope for good things on occasion for Sac State, but I'm a UC Davis guy, so
makes sense.
People are now filtering in. I think this is for the concert that
you can see behind me
that is supposed to like be over in a few minutes. Like if we're, if this becomes like a full on marathon and we,
brother,
just
we might be going 10 to 4 today.
If we just keep going, this is, it's going to get a little loose here, especially if people don't call the Elk Grove Kia hotline, talk line here on ESPN 1320 at 916-909-1320. I'm expecting Ramsey to call in any minute because I just called him out and said, you need to call. Anyway, this is one of those events where, like the Pac-12, if the Pac-12 does get like, it does look like it's being reinvigorated, re-envisioned, and I have no idea how that's happening, but good for them. Jesse, let's get back to this game tonight.
Want to get to the calls real quick? The bat signal went up. We got callers.
We've got calls. Let's see. What do we got?
All right, 1320. What is your name?
Paul.
What's up, Paul? What do you want to talk about?
I need some help in my fantasy lineup, guys.
What's going on? What are we working with today?
So, I'm having trouble with my wide receiver selection. I need to know if I should be playing Christian Kirk, Brian Thomas Jr., instead of Devontae Smith.
Ooh, instead of Devontae Smith.
Who do the Eagles have this week?
Yeah.
They got Atlanta.
Oh.
I think I still like Devontae Smith. Christian Kirk had some bad drops last week.
I'm not taking Christian Kirk at all, and me and Kyle are probably going to launch him into space because we had the accidental drafting of Christian Kirk, which has destroyed our fantasy football team because we should have had Reed.
Paul, stick with Devontae Smith, Paul.
Yeah, Devontae Smith, and then next up, like Brian Thomas, like the route
Brian
he
Thomas
ran,
is good.
The route he ran for that touchdown was spectacular.
He might be the number one by the end of the year.
I think he'll be the number one by like week three. And so Devontae Smith today, but 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, ask us again, Paul.
Yeah, you might want to go back. You might want to go a different direction.
All right. We got legend Leezy on the line.
Leezy's on the line.
What's up, Leezy?
Yo, him and Jesse, the A team. What's good, guys?
What's up, Leezy?
That's right.
Hey, I just had a quick question, guys. So we're talking fantasy, so I'm just going to keep rolling with that. What are your guys' thoughts on Anthony Richardson? A lot of people are kind of out on him because they think he's injury prone or whatever. So far, I think he's been pretty good. Where would you guys like kind of rank him? Like, should I start him, sit him? Not kind of sure right now.
Well, who's your other options at quarterback?
Well, I got my boy Hurts. As you know, I'm a well-known Eagles fan. But last week he threw two picks, so I'm a little nervous about that. So, but Hurts is usually pretty solid for me.
Yeah, I would tell you this. In the two leagues that I play in, I was flat out busted up by Richardson. And I think for right now, like, why not go with him? Because it feels like they're going to be behind in games. And it feels like they're giving him all kinds of options to whether it's run the ball or sling it all over the place. And I don't think they care if he makes mistakes. I think they know who they are as a team right now. And that's a team that's going to struggle. Like, they might be okay, and they might even push for a playoff spot, but I also don't think that they believe that that's who they are.
That
so.
Touchdown pass off of his back foot that went 70, 60 yards in the air to Pierce or whatever was one of the best throws I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, like, you're too young to remember Jeff Blake.
You're
but,
right.
But Jeff Blake threw ball.
Played for
ball
the Bengals, right?
Played for the Bengals, and he would hit Carl Pickens on these passes all the time, and they're moonshots, so it's a specific way that he's throwing the ball where it goes straight up in the air and then it comes down at an angle where the defensive back can't get to it. And it's just like a beautiful pass. And we've seen a couple other quarterbacks. Aaron Brooks used to throw a really good ball too, like this. I think Russell Wilson at one point threw a really good deep ball. But that was wild because it was like some of these other guys, they can't throw the ball 65 yards in the air.
He didn't even put his all into it. He kind of just dropped back. Oh, here's the guy. There you go.
Well, that and he didn't throw, like, he didn't step in and throw a laser 60 yards or 65 yards. He threw, like, a flat out, like a moon ball.
Yes.
So, for me, I was super impressed. It was like, holy cow, I can't believe that dropped in like that. And it showed you just, like, he has unlimited potential. So, I would go with him and ride it for a couple of weeks. Although, I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a big season, too.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, like, he threw a couple picks, but he's always going to put up points. You can't ever really go wrong with him.
Well, that and he's got great wide receivers.
Yeah, he's always going to get his.
Yeah, I mean, they even went out and got a solid third wide receiver to go with this the two stars. So, A little leery on Devontae Smith as like a long-term thing for the first caller, but
stick with him from right now. Wait till Brian Thomas like actually starts getting more targets.
Yeah,
that's the one to watch, though. Brian Thomas.
No, I totally agree. We're gonna sit Brian Thomas on our bench until he's ready. He might have to start like one of these weeks for us, but like in the league that
he was cooking Jalen Ramsey a bit in the first half.
Yeah, the problem that we have too is we can't really drop Christian Kirk because he's part of our name.
What is the name?
Because we have DeAndre Swift and we have Christian Kirk and we have Dicker the Kicker. Our team is Swift, Kirk, and the Dicker.
Okay, yeah, nice. It's a solid fantasy football name.
It's a solid. That was
it works.
A combination of Kyle and I. Kyle came up with the final product because, you know, I certainly could come up with a couple other names that we're going with that, like, based off of some of those.
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. So if you guys have more fantasy football questions,
just want to talk.
Yeah, or you just want to hang out and talk with us. Not only do you can you reach out and talk to us today, but tomorrow Jesse and I will be back, but we will have Faraz Siddiqui from 10:30 to 11, where we will field your calls on all things fantasy football, and we'll also just answer all of your questions in the chat as well. So we're the insiders. We're in hour number 3 here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back in just a minute for what could be the final segment, but I'm not convinced of it because the concert hasn't started yet.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back into the Insiders. It's a marathon here. We are looking for your calls. Call the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320.
We got Ramsey with us.
Oh, we got Ramsey, of course. See, that's what happens. You call out Ramsey, he shows up. Ramsey, what do you got for us?
Just this tack, whatever situation is, it's mind-boggling, it's baffling.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on this? Explain it.
It goes back years. From when you had the previous commissioner, Larry Scott, who left a lot to be desired. Then they hired George Kliakoff from the Midwest, but he couldn't keep the true Pac-12 together and allowed 10 of the 12 teams to move, whether it be ACC, Big 12, Big 10. Now you want to bring in these other schools to the pack. Now I call it the pack, whatever, because I don't have any interest because my alma mater, Arizona State's now a Big 12 team. So, I mean, it just became extremely frustrating. If you would have done the right thing, found a way to keep the money, keep the original conference together, it would have worked. It would have stayed and would have worked just fine. I'm disappointed in the simple fact I don't know the next time Arizona State, whatever team it is, I don't know the next time they're going to play a game in California, which I could rely on anywhere from at least 6 to potentially 8 to 12 games, depending on the sport, per season that I know that they would be in California. Now, I couldn't tell you the next time, because especially with being in the Big 12, they've got games where they got to go to – they can eventually go to West Virginia. They can go to Central Florida. I mean, it's going to be opposite for football this season because Central Florida in Orlando is coming to Phoenix to play, but that could flip. It's just became a mess in all of college football.
Appreciate you, Ramsey.
I agree. Six-pack it is.
Six-pack, but yeah, Ramsey's kind of like, it's whatever at this point. I get what he's saying about it.
I get it. I mean, it's lost its way. Like, and I get that they do have a television contract. I mean, like, so NBC in San Francisco, it's 3rd and Harrison, is the NBC Sports building. And then the Pac-12 is the next floor up. Well, NBC has 2 floors, and then Pac-12 is above it. It's, like, right there. It's in the same building. So, like, I feel bad that a lot of people have probably lost their jobs and everything else, but at the same time, like, this happened and you didn't do anything about it then, and now you're sort of piecing together this weird thing.
Yeah.
And we're going to come up with clever names for it.
I've never been able to get into like college football fully.
I can't either.
I can't. Like the conferences don't really matter to me. Like, it was always like, I was always just pay the players and that's fine or whatever. Now that they did, it's cool. But I don't know. I've never been a bit. I wonder if how much that's to do with like the South is just, that's all they got.
What I don't like is just the blowouts. Like, to me, like, why are you playing? I get why the teams are playing a game where it's going to be like the point spread is 65 points. And you're like, oh, okay, why are you even taking your team there? And it's because they make so much money.
Yeah.
So a team's like, oh, yeah, we'll go play a promo game against you. We'll play a preseason game and just get trashed. But even during the regular season, there are a lot of, like, really wild, wild spreads. And I'm like, I'm just not down for it. I strangely sat and watched college football on Saturday. Like,
oh, yeah, I was doing that all day. Like, I can, like, I can watch, but it's just I have no team. And it's just whoever loses, fine. Whoever wins, fine, I guess.
Yeah, and then, like, I was watching, like, fake Patrick Mahomes. Well, I don't want to be able to say fake Patrick Mahomes, but, like the...
Oh, Raiola, is that? Dylan Raiola?
Yeah, his name is? Raiola. Yeah, who's trying to be, like, a Nebraska's quarterback. He's trying to be, like, a Patrick Mahomes guy. And of course, his dad was a center for the Lions for like 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
His godfather is Matthew Stafford, so like he's got all kinds of ties to the NFL.
Him and Mahomes got the same quarterbacks coach too.
Yeah, they also have the same haircut.
That's facts.
Same facial hair. Yeah,
That was crazy. That one video where he's walking on campus, he's got the shades on and on. It's like, no, that's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, man, I get it, but like, get your own shtick.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't want to bash on a college kid, but like, just kind of strange the way this is going. Yeah, Jesse, we've been talking all day about the game tonight. Of course, the Buffalo Bills and Miami Dolphins will face off, and what could mean everything. Is this the most important game of the season?
No, just for the sake, it's week two. Like,
I know. Yeah,
but we'll see. We'll see what they look like. I think they win, but it's literally the boogeyman has kicked your ass for so long you can't even predict it.
It doesn't feel to me that the Bills should be they should be that good this year.
Yeah, but like, they have Josh Allen, and I feel like that matters a lot. Like, he, for me, like I said, I call him as a four horsemen of quarterbacks, and honestly, we could talk about this guy because he might be out of there, but it's Mahomes, Lamar, Allen, and it was Joe Burrow. And I feel like if you got those guys, you're always fine. Like, Joe, we could talk about him or whatever, because his risk might be cashed, but...
I kind of feel like Joe Burrow has fallen out of that.
He might have.
And it was also, like, there was a point where you're like, okay, is Justin Herbert going to be the guy that steps into that? And then all of a sudden, no.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, maybe he's able to figure it out and put things together, but, again, sort of the same thing that Josh Allen's going through, where they wiped out all of his wide receivers and his running backs and started over, and he's got a new head coach, and you're thinking, okay, is he able to piece it together and all that stuff? Maybe he is. Maybe he'll be able to respond and build the team back up. But I think that there's a lot of transition in this season specific of the NFL, and then there's a lot of like continuity teams.
Mm-hmm.
The continuity teams, you know, I'm not going to put the Chiefs in the continuity team, although a couple of their guys are back. Maybe because Rashee Rice became such a huge piece of what they're doing, and yeah. they still have Taylor Swift's boyfriend,
that guy,
Kelsey, and they've added so many pieces outside of that. Where I look at teams like the Lions, like the 49ers, where they're established who they are. Even I know it sounds strange, but even like Tampa Bay. Like,
yeah, they've been around for a little bit.
Yeah, there's continuity between Mike Evans and like Baker Mayfield and everything that they're building. Like, I like some of these teams that have kind of pieced it, held it together. And I think Miami fits into that. They're a continuity team.
You're just waiting for the results with them.
Well, yeah, but I think it's possible that we're like, they've shown flashes of being so good that when they disappoint you, they disappoint you too big.
That sounds right.
You know what I mean? It's they're a team.
It's just, you're expecting so much. It's like, nah, like they just, what was this?
Yeah, they put up like 400 yards passing and they've got a wide receiver pushing for 2,000 yards and you're expecting all of these things. And then when they fall on their face, it's usually so epic. And I would put the Dallas Cowboys in sort of the same boat.
Yeah.
Like, when Dallas flops, it's like, oh my God.
No, that's a good call, I think.
Like, what in the world just happened to you? You went from, again, like week two last year was Mike Fiorio or whatever. He literally calling the Dolphins and the Niners, like the two teams of destiny, and everyone's expecting these guys to represent the AFC and the NFC in the Super Bowl, and then the Dolphins just faded, and you're like, man, what exactly happened? So I kind of hope that this continuity thing that we're talking about, it plays out, because you are looking at a team who has a great quarterback who is trying to establish who his people are, right? Even like Kincaid wasn't all that, you know, a big piece of what he did last week. But then you have the Dolphins, who same coach, same quarterback, same wide receiving core for the most part, same explosive runners, whether they're healthy or not, but the same idea. Even if they are going with a new running back tonight, it's Jeff Wilson, who's been there for what, 2-3 years?
3 years, I think.
Yeah, so you have a lot of pieces in place, and I kind of want to know if it matters in the NFL as much as it does maybe the NBA. Uh-huh. The NBA is all about continuity, where I think the NFL, they try these things all the time. But
well, the NFL is different in the sense you only get like a 3-year shelf life. And if you're not, if you haven't figured it out or aren't close by year three, you're out of there, and they're probably blowing it up again.
Yeah, but that's not what they do with quarterbacks, though. Typically, quarterbacks, I mean, yes, there are a bunch of quarterbacks who come into the league who burn out and who are gone. But then when guys establish themselves, they're usually there 8 to 10 years, sometimes longer. You know, quarterbacks, it's rare that you see like a superstar quarterback change teams midway through. So I'm intrigued. Like I'm pulling for your team.
Thank you.
I would like to see your team.
Chatty House, we need the vibes. We need it. I don't want to come to work tomorrow all sad.
You don't want to come?
No, James.
I don't. Yeah, because we have to do a show tomorrow.
Yes.
It's not going to be a 3-hour
show.
I'm
going to be, oh yeah, Josh Allen was so great yesterday. James Cook ran all over. No, I don't want to do that tomorrow.
I feel bad. If that happens, we're taking up a collection so Jesse can get a grill. Not a grill, but a grill.
I might just have to get both.
You're going to have to get both?
Yeah, just the grill while I grill.
You talked about vibes right there. Coming into week one of the NFL season, I don't think that there was a team with stranger vibes than the 49ers.
It was a weird offseason, because I asked the guys last week, I think it was, like, did they have a bad offseason or was it just really loud?
Oh.
Because you got your guys, like Trent Williams was signed. He's here now. He's got his deal. Brandon Ayuk, he's here for the next however many years. Like, everything you were kind of worried about, like, you got taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, like, it was the loud offseason compared to a bad one, I guess.
No, I think that makes sense, but when you get to the last week of training camp and guys are just starting to sign and the Ayuk situation is figuring itself out, the Trent Williams situation is figuring itself out, but on top of that, you have all this mystery and questions about Christian McCaffrey. I think the vibes coming into week one were like super funky.
I'll fight you on that one a little bit, because I feel like if Trent's coming in like that week, Brandon Ayuk shows up, like your boys are showing up that week. It's like, all right, we got our guys back. Let's go now. Like, it's football season week one. Like, we got our team here. Like, we're good now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I also think that you're thinking, okay, it's week one. You have a very, what most people consider a very, very good opponent in week one, and you're worried that they're going to come out and just get stomped. Just because,
were we worried or were they worried, though?
Well, and that might be because I think that's something that Shanahan kind of addressed yesterday. Like, hey, look, I've been here the whole time. Like, these guys, we're having a good time. We're all we're pulling the same way.
If I'm George Kittle, I'm a Hall of Famer. We're good. If I'm Debo Samuel, like, I'm Debo Samuel. We're good and all that. Like, you got CMC here. Like, I feel like those guys, Fred Warner, whoever you want to throw out, like, wouldn't let them get to that, because it's like, we're here. We're good.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
No, I do.
I think it was more for us to worry about than they were actually worrying about it.
Yeah, but they should have been worried because Hufanga is still out and we don't know when he's coming back. He hasn't been pupped, but we don't know when he's coming back. Not only Hufanga, but Navarro Bowman, like, when will he be back? You don't know. So it's not just like the offensive players that we're missing. The defense is missing players as well.
And yeah.
So I think it's interesting that we saw a team that went in with like kind of suspect vibes. And came out, and all of a sudden it's like, oh no, vibes are good.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe the vibes just weren't suspect.
Yeah.
For them, they were like, it was because bring it back to the Mike Brown coaching thing or whatever. On Twitter and all that, we were freaking out. Wait, why is this all so public? Blah, 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 blah. Why is this all like, and a week later, Mike Brown is good.
Mike Brown.
He's got his contract.
He got the extension.
And it's like on us, on our end, it's like, oh my gosh, like, what is going on? What's going on? What's going on? But in reality, it's like, it's not that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No. I think that might have been the case with the 49ers too. Like, I get that like, they were frustrated, no doubt, but as far as the vibes and going into week one with the squad you got, I think they were fine.
I think you're right a little bit there. I think the situation with Mike never reached a point where it's like either Mike's going to be here or he's not.
Mm-hmm.
It never came to that.
That's true. Yeah.
But it certainly the vibes weren't good.
Yeah.
There was definitely a possibility of him walking into a lame duck season. So, like, I mean, that's just but we hadn't got to the level where we knew what the players were really feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're at first when all this is happening, the NBA is very different. Like, I think the NFL, because they have OTAs and they have mini camps and they have, you know, rookie camps and all that stuff, there's all these moments where they're touching base with each other, right? And the NBA is like, once you're out of the playoffs, like, you're gone.
Yeah.
Like, there's free agency, there's draft. You might come back and hang out for summer league, but again, just think of this. Like, the Kings season ended like April 16th, whatever the play-in game was. They all get together for a couple of them fly in for the California Classic, right? That's July. So we're talking about like 2.5 months later, right? Month and a half later.
Yeah.
No, all of June, all of May, 2.5 months later, they're getting together. So there's like this huge gap. And then once that ends, it's like, hey, man, we're not getting together again until, like, they had their little week that they went to San Diego.
One of the Santas?
I think it was San Diego. They went to San Diego for just, like, to hang out as a group. We've seen players, like, get together and have competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, Jay Crowder is coming in this week to hang out with the group of players that are playing here and kind of do, like, a free agent tryout type deal. But my point is that there is so much separation, and with the NFL, like, it does feel like they're together way more than...
Oh, yeah, they're together from... OTAs are, what, April, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, so from April to till the season's over.
Yeah, and it's like everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they all pop in, they're there for a week or two, and then they go back and they do their thing, but they always have these moments where they're touching base. You know, like, again, with baseball, it's 162 games. You're together from spring training in, like... late February
mm-hmm.
until October.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like such a brutal stretch where you're...
Do we feel good about the Niners now, though?
I think I do.
Even with McCaffrey dealing with his Achilles tendonitis and all that?
I think you feel better because when you have a player like Jordan Mason step in and become something,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden it like adds this element of, hey, this is really cool. You know, like there's a lot of potential here and it's untapped. And maybe you get into the playoffs and you have McCaffrey go down midway through a game and you need Jordan Mason to step in. And he's a guy that, you know, can put up 150 yards, you know, and that's a big deal. You know, again, you get into a game where he's out and you make it to the next round of the playoffs and you're like, oh, what are we going to do? We lost Christian McCaffrey, our season's over. No, maybe it's not. You know, and maybe that Mason stepping up like this, it'll buy you 8 to 10 carries a week for the next 16 weeks.
Get the man with PR too, please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, and that's one of those things where you don't even think about.
Yeah.
Like when you're prepping for that game, it didn't dawn on you that there's a possibility that
he goes off and maybe he has a post-game press conference.
That Mason could be just so good that he's going to be asked questions on the field.
You imagine Niners PR staff, yeah, Kyle, when you talk to him, yeah, he's not going to hit the podium, no worries.
No, I mean, that's where you're at, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like you don't prep most of your defensive line, you know? You're going to prep Bosa, or at least you've had conversations with Bosa, you know what's going on. You're not prepping the second linebacker next,
yeah.
You know, whoever it is starting next to Fred Warner. You're just not like getting into it with all of these guys, and then all of a sudden you have a guy who blows up and then press conference gets a little wonky or on the field interview. I'd also say the other thing with the 49ers going into the season is that Ricky Pearsall got shot.
Yeah. That's another thing that happened. That was insane.
Yeah, like everything happening like within a couple of days of each other. Like you're trying to build up to a season, and
I was thinking football, but just like all this stuff, and then like, yeah, Ricky Pearsall gets shot, and he's great and all that, but like that's That's just so much you're dealing with.
Yeah, it ends up being an inspirational thing, and I don't know how much Ricky Pearsall was going to play anyways. Like, I don't even know if he would have been, like, he would have been in uniform likely on opening weekend, but would he have been part of any game plan? And the answer is probably not, you know, between Juwan Jennings, between Ayuk being back, between the other guys who had been in practice the whole time. I think that there's a possibility. Oh, did I say Navarro Bowman? I meant Dre Greenlaw. Sorry, my bad. Yeah, Dre Greenlaw's out. But anyway, I think it adds another level to the chaos that's happening with the 49ers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they come out of week one. It's like, man, we just crushed a team that everyone is talking about, that everyone thinks is amazing. We just crushed them.
Yeah, it's kind of like a sense of, like I said, I've said it earlier, it's like a sense of relief. Like, we're all right.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Like a major sense of relief. Now, it's the NFL, and we've seen this 49er team like come out last season. They were just rolling, and then all of a sudden they got complacent and just got buried 3 weeks in a row. And that's not something you want to see from this team. You want to see them sort of ride this throughout the season. And, you know, but again, I think adding Mason maybe gives you the confidence that you can keep going, that you can mix things up, you can be different.
I'm sure if I'm Kyle Shanahan, at this point, it's like, give me whatever running back and I'll have him rush for 100 yards.
I don't know, because he wouldn't give anybody else the ball at all.
Well, he knows what he knows.
Or he's going to sign Matt Breida tomorrow, just in case.
He's on the practice squad, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's something where you're like, okay, look, he's gonna go find like Tevin Coleman and like bring him out of mothballs and like, hey, man, I might have an issue here. I need you to be here. So I don't know. It's intriguing. We do. What do we got tonight? What time is the game?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. And do we?
We don't have the game.
We don't have the game. The game's on at 5 o'clock tonight. Do you know who's favored?
Miami 2.5.
Ooh.
Yeah, 2.5 points.
Are you taking that?
Yeah, I think they're winning today.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they're winning today.
You think they're going to defy all the odds?
It's literally, if you look at the matchups and all that, they should win. But it's just how much, what do they call it? Rent do they own in your head?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's always the problem, right? You're worried about a team.
I don't think Buffalo respects Miami in the sense where they think Miami is soft. I think they think they're a finesse football team, and I think they can punch Miami in the face, and Miami's not going to do nothing about it.
You think so?
Yeah, because I've heard Daryl Dawkins, and he's their left tackle. He's talked about it before.
That's just weird.
I think that's how they feel about Miami. Like, they almost like don't respect them. I get it. I get it, though. Literally, they blow them out every time.
It's kind of like the guys who played in cold weather and the guys who don't play in cold weather. And Miami, like, they're in the tropics.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this team that's, like, gritty and, like, Buffalo, New York, like, you know, blue-collar town. You know, again, they play in the snow.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, you guys can't play in the snow. But I don't know. I'm intrigued.
We'll see what happens.
If I too will choose Miami tonight. That's who I'm going with.
You got any matchups this weekend you're looking forward to? You got your eyes on? I got my eyes on the Raiders this weekend. I want to see what that Raiders offense looks like. They got Baltimore this week, so that's going to maybe look a little ugly, but I need to see a little bit more from them because I was a little scared after last week.
Okay. I'm not intrigued at all by Cleveland-Jacksonville, although that could be a very good game. I'm not intrigued at all by Jets and Tennessee. There's some amount of intrigue with the 49ers-Minnesota game.
Bears-Texans seems nice, too.
Yeah.
I think Caleb Williams had a lot of jitters last week, so I want to see what he looks like kind of this week.
Okay.
The Texans and CJ Stroud, that's kind of my team where it's like, if someone's going to knock off the Chiefs, it might be them.
Is it just me, or is, like, are they becoming everyone's second favorite team?
The Texans?
Yes.
They might be.
They're just so much fun.
Yeah, well, CJ Stroud, like, he's, like, we talked about Joe Burrow, and maybe he's kind of fallen out of that top four. CJ Stroud might be the one who's kind of next in line to join those guys.
Okay, so we've got the Bengals Chiefs. I think that's going to be a fun game. I do. I think the Bengals will come back a little bit. I don't think they'll beat the Chiefs, but I think they'll have a bounce back. Eagles-Falcons is intriguing because I don't think Kirk Cousins is that bad.
Yeah, I wonder how much of they're still dealing with his injury coming back, because I hope I'm not mistaken, but I don't think they ran any play action in that game against the Steelers.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
I have to recheck that stat. They didn't run it at all, or they ran it like an insanely minimal amount with him.
I know they couldn't figure out a way to get DeAndre Swift involved at all. So I'm not intrigued at all by the Steelers-Broncos. The Rams-Cardinals, nah, not really.
Yeah, Soren throws in Tampa-Detroit. That should be good.
We're here. Uh-oh. Hey, look, I think we're out of time, Jesse. We actually, the A-team is actually here.
I don't think we need to go to break. Ask him if he's fine just hopping on.
Are you fine just hopping on? Do we need, we don't need to go to break?
Yeah, we don't need to go to break. We already ran our breaks because we took our 12:43 break at 12:28. So our next break's not till 1:13.
Oh, your next break is until 1:13. I haven't logged on. I can. So, hey, we survived.
We can just do a changeover.
That's what I'm saying. Just do the changeover. Quick, hockey switch.
Here we go.
Hockey switch.
You guys all ready? Oh, that's true. Yeah, we did have a situation yesterday with Kenny. And it wasn't Lil KC.
Well,
I meant the cat.
All right, James.
I meant the cat.
It's done. Now they're never going to let us do another hour.
The cat.
Right about that. It wasn't
Lil KC had problems. Big KC had problems. It all. It all happened. How was the show out there? You guys have a good time?
It was fantastic. Yeah,
sweet. Yeah, it looks like a nice little crowd here. I've got to go get into a meeting, so it's just the day. This day
we'll
is
making some money, James.
This day is never going to end. It will never end. Jesse, thanks for joining me all day.
It was fun. Three hours. Shout out to the chatty house.
We'll be back tomorrow. We will have Faraz Siddiqui here from Upper Hand Fantasy to talk all of fantasy football, and you guys can have all kinds of questions for him as far as who you need to start, who you need to sit for fantasy teams. We'll also have a lot of football to talk after, of course,
The Miami Dolphins beat the Buffalo Bills.
After Jesse's Miami Dolphins smack around the Buffalo Bills, hopefully. So we'll have all kinds of stuff to talk about tomorrow, plus some previews on the rest of the weekend of NFL football. I am going to hand off to Damian Barling.
All right, while you hand off, one take fades right in the chat. Bro, I am 5'6". I am not tall at all.
See you guys.